gathering here this morning. Thank you for the Lord's Day that you've given us, a day of rest, but most importantly, a day when we gather as God's people and we fellowship together around the things of the Lord. And Father, how we thank you for the Word of God, for the message that was faithfully preached in the first service this morning. And Father, might we allow the Word of God to always speak to our hearts and be a challenge to us. And Father, I pray that you'd remind us to pray for one another. And as young men and women are being trained in Winkler, pray, Father, that you have your hand of blessing on them there. Pray, Father, also for the folks gathered here this morning, that you'd be gracious and minister to every heart, we pray. Thank you for the glorious opportunity for God's people just to be together and to fellowship together. And Father, that you have designed the New Testament church where God's people can come and be at peace and harmony together. And Father, might your Holy Spirit and the Word of God speak to our hearts today, we ask, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to do something this morning that we've never done before. How about that? And I kind of felt impressed of the Lord to do this, okay? So I trust that God will have his hand of blessing on it. It's Mother's Day, and we always preach a sermon that the years when I was pastor here, I always preached a sermon connected something to Mother's Day. And my kids would say, preaching again on, what is it now? Proverbs chapter 31, okay? Everybody remember Proverbs chapter 31? Anybody remember Proverbs 31? Maybe should have preached it again today. Anyway, it sets a standard for a woman, a mother. I'll tell you, some high standard, and women feel intimidated by that chapter, that passage of Scripture. So we're going to do something different today. I've asked five people to give a five-minute testimony on their mother and the home, and it's up to them what they did after that. I've asked them to take 5 minutes, okay? And we'll have them come up here one at a time and pray as they come that God will minister through them, through their testimony this morning. Okay, Jessica, you are first, if you would come. We didn't advertise this to anybody, so it's a surprise to all of you, but just pray as they come.
Mom is now nervous that I'm going to spill all of her secrets, but and I know she'll be, you know, crying in like 2 minutes anyway, maybe less. So, yeah. So, as Pastor was saying, I did immediately think of the Proverbs 31, you know, woman when he asked us to do this, but then I was like, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible is full of really. Is lots of really good verses. And when I think of my mom, I think of faithfulness. And I may be a bit like my mom, so I might cry too. So that's your fault, Mom. But in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and I didn't even realize it until today, it was actually my Sunday school verse was also this verse, and I didn't even realize it was from this passage. But Galatians 6, verse 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And then also in verse 7, actually, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." So the sowing and reaping, we've all heard about it. So when you're a kid, you don't really pick up on things very much. But when you get older, like, you can look back and you realize things, and you realize their significance. And my mom is faithful. She has always been faithful to Dad. I don't remember as a kid, you know, I mean, sure, parents joke around, but I don't remember Mom, you know, going and, you know, Dad did something, and I don't remember a time where she was like, "Oh, your dad doesn't know what he's doing." or, you know, nothing like that. I don't remember a time when that has ever happened. They had disagreements, but never was there any, you know, well, let's take sides here and see who the kids think is right or anything like that. And I mean, that's how it should be. We were always faithful to church. There were times that Dad had to work, and I understand that not everyone can make it to every church service. But there was also not a time that I can remember where she was like, you know what, I just don't feel like going. And when you're a mom, you know, with two girls, and you're trying to get them all ready, like, I don't have kids, but I have seen parents with kids, and it is a lot of work to get them ready just for church. And it's just a lot of work in general. Kids are so much work. Or when teaching kids things, it would be so much easier to just do everything yourself. But Mom would take the time, and she would show us how to do things. And you may have noticed she taught me how to cook and bake, and I am thankful for that. That's something that not everyone gets to learn. There were times when, you know, when maybe money was tight. And again, it wasn't Mom at home going, oh, this is so hard, or like, you know, Job's wife, curse God and die, or something like that. There were times, she would pitch in and do whatever she could to help Dad. Raising us, you know, she would bring up Bible verses. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 7, it says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And I remember that. I remember, you know, in certain situations, you know, it was always, well, here's this Bible verse where, you know, God is faithful. Here's this Bible verse where you can learn this from it. Or, you know, I'll pray for you, or let's pray together. So that was how I was raised. So I'm just very thankful today for a very faithful mother. And I don't know if that was 5 minutes, but...
Well, we appreciate that. Faithfulness is a very, very admirable trait. Amen? And the Persons, since they've been coming here for what, 30 years more? 35 years? Wow. 35 years we've put up with Brother Ron's jokes. Anyways, they have been faithful, and that is a tremendous trait. May God bless them, and may they continue to do that. Next testimony is from Emily, if you'd come, please.
Good morning. So first of all, happy Mother's Day. Most of you know that our family moved from Bethel to Pembroke in 2004, where my dad started a church. And they will actually be celebrating the church's 19th anniversary this summer. When we moved to Pembroke and my dad became the pastor of the newly formed Faith Baptist Church, my mom stepped into the role of pastor's wife. I was too young at the time to think through what a challenging transition that must have been for her in such a change of roles as well as a change of location. But she is one of the biggest examples in my life of working hard and doing to the best of your ability whatever it is that you are called on to do, even if it's giving a 5-minute speech when public speaking terrifies me. In all of the things that my mom has done as a pastor's wife, she's always done her best to exemplify the biblical principle of living out your faith. As James 2:17 says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." And I'm so thankful that my mother has a living faith. She doesn't just tell people what she believes, she shows them with everything that she does. As a piano player, she faithfully serves with her whole heart. As a ministry worker, she lovingly serves, as any children's ministry worker will tell you, with a lot of patience. As a godly counselor and mentor, she serves with wisdom and love. As a hostess, she serves with grace, opening her home to anyone and serving them in love and in sincerity. And as a mom, she has served and does serve in many more ways than I could ever begin to describe. She taught my two brothers and I so much as we were growing up about living selflessly, loving honestly, and serving graciously. In all this and so much more, her actions then and now teach me the importance of a living faith. As a homeschool mom, she taught us while also running a full-time home daycare once we were all in high school. During those very busy years, she was not just our school teacher. She worked together with my dad to instill in us the value of a good work ethic, the joy and satisfaction in a job well done, and the excitement that can come from setting challenging goals for yourself. And my mom has certainly set and achieved some challenging goals. After my brothers and I were older in 2012, she went to Algonquin College, and after 2 busy years of full-time education while also working a job outside the home, she became a nurse and has been doing that for almost 10 years now. And she's also taught nursing students for quite a few years as well. I'm so proud of her for realizing her lifelong dream, trusting God to provide the resources, and for living out her faith among her coworkers and her nursing students as well. At the heart of this amazing lady that I get to call mom is the heart of a servant, a child of God who knows her value based first and foremost on who she is in Christ, saved by his blood to tell others about his love. And while she's not perfect, she has taught me far more than I could ever say. I'm thankful for a mom who serves faithfully whether it's easy or not, for introducing me by her words and actions to a living faith in Jesus Christ, for her constant love and support and guidance, and most of all, for showing me through her actions that although serving the Lord is not always easy, it's always worth it.
You get the picture that being a mom is one big piece of work. And praise the Lord for faithful moms, godly moms. Where's that verse that said their price is far above rubies? How valuable to have a good mom in the home. Maria Garcia, if you'd come next, please.
Okay, I promised I wouldn't cry, but I think you guys all know by now. All right, so in case you don't know my mom, she's the pretty Colombian lady in the middle with the pink cute sweater. She's beside my dad. My mom's favorite verse is Philippians 4, verse 13, which says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I believe this can apply to motherhood. Why? Because being a mother is hard, especially when you don't have perfect children. My mom knows. In 2017, my mom decided to homeschool us. She had everything ready to go back to school, to go back to work, but instead she said no. She put her life aside, she put her career aside, and decided to stay with my brother and me. Sorry. At the time, I didn't understand. I'm like, Mom, go back to work. You're a Canadian woman. Canadian women work. And she said, no, I didn't understand. Till many years later, when I was at a sewing class with Miss Tracy and Mrs. Persson, and I overheard them say one thing. And they said, time spent with your children is never time wasted. That was my mom. That's most Christian women. They stay home with their kids and raise them in a godly manner. So what I want to say here is, after all these years, after many years of schooling, my mom could finally go back to work. But that's because she put a lot of time aside and decided to stay with her kids, to raise them in a godly way, to make sure they read their Bible every single day, to make sure that their talents were being used for the Lord. I was thinking about the sermon this morning that our guest pastor preached, and he said that we want to pass those godly things down to the next generation. My mom did that. Lots of ladies in this room did that. I can see it. So what I want to do, I want to do that too. I want to be like my mother. I want to be like all these godly women. I want to be like the godly women in the Bible who pass down their beliefs to the next generation, who raised a generation of godly kids who live for the Lord. So that's where the verse comes in. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Mom, thank you for doing that. Thank you for putting your life aside and raising Julian and me. Thank you for being a full-time mom, wife, homeschool mom, counselor, tutor, everything. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who is an example for me. Thank you to Mrs. Persaud. Thank you for Mrs. Tracy Unger. Thank you for everyone. But most of all, thank you, Mom. I love you, Mom. Thank you for being always with me. Thank you.
What do you say? A godly mom. How precious. How precious. Lisa, if you'd come, please.
I am grateful for this opportunity to honor my mom. In thinking about what in particular I wanted to express today, one aspect of her life kept coming to mind. To begin, I would like to read the response of Mary to the angel who appeared and told her that she had been chosen as the virgin to bear the Messiah. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Think about that for a minute. She had no idea how this would change her life. Maybe Joseph would break the betrothal when he learned that she was with child. Maybe her family would cast her out because they didn't understand. Maybe everyone would gossip and falsely accuse her. I'm sure this was not an easy thing for Mary. There were probably times that she questioned in her mind or struggled with the changes in her life. And yet she ultimately said, "Here I am. Do what you want with my life, God. It's yours." She gave up her plans of what she thought her life would look like. In Mary's response, we see her heart revealed. There was faith, trust, submission, and sacrifice. My mom grew up on a farm, following her dad around outside and helping with all the chores of farm life, and she loved it. It was her dream to marry a farmer, and in 1962, she did just that. Within 5 years, they had four little boys. Life was busy, full, and she loved it. Then 4 years later, they had a little girl, and life became extra wonderful. She worked on the land right beside her husband, and she was living the only life she had ever wanted. Until one day, the Lord called her husband into full-time service. And Mom had to surrender every last bit of the life that she cherished. Off she went to Tennessee with five children to become a student at Bible college while Dad trained for the ministry. For the first time in her life, she lived in the city. And it was a city far away from her family and friends. She made a home and a new life. She loved her family, and she carried on. Then came the next chapter, the move to Mexico as missionaries. Mom had never dreamed of living in a foreign land, but that's where she found herself, learning a new language and a new culture, with new expectations and responsibilities. As an adult, when I look back at this time, I can see how difficult that must have been for her. Again, she made a home, loved her family, and carried on. After returning to Canada, we moved to London, and Dad took over a tiny church called Bethel Baptist Church that only had a few people attending. The ministry was far too small to support us, so Dad started Unger's Market to make a living for his family while he served as pastor. Now Mom had two new roles. She was a pastor's wife and a retail store employee. I watched my mom work tirelessly beside my dad in the market for years to make ends meet and to provide for our needs. She had no fancy material possessions or vacations. She rarely even had a day off. She made do, she served, she loved, and she made a home. Then came the day she probably never thought would come. She retired from working in the market, and no one deserved retirement more. Except retirement didn't last long. She was needed once again, this time as a teacher in the Christian school. So Mom started another new chapter as a kindergarten teacher. She poured herself into her new role and completely invested herself into their young lives. Now, I don't know if you've been counting, but that's quite a few reinventions and major life changes. Farmer's wife, college student, missionary, pastor's wife, market employee, and teacher. Each one done to the best of her ability. Each one requiring a new set of sacrifices and a new leap of faith. And I can honestly say that I have no memories of my mom complaining. I'm sure she had her struggles because she's human. But what she modeled to her family was service, submission, and love. Like Mary, she gave up her plans of what she thought her life would look like. I was immeasurably blessed to grow up in a home with a mom who said to God, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." I think if you asked her, she would not say that she accomplished great things or made any huge contributions to the world. But to her five children, she made all the difference in the world. And to the countless lives she touched along the way in each new role, she made a difference. Thank you, Mom, for your love, your selflessness, your dedication to your husband and your family, and for always simply doing the next right thing.
What a job being a mom. What a job. Moms sure are special, are they not? When a little girl grows up, becomes a teenager, comes to the age when she can get married, starts a home, at that point, what does she know? In the case of my wife, had no idea where this road would all lead. But through it all, God is so good and God is so faithful. God protects and God blesses. Looking back, we can only say one thing. God is very good, very loving, very kind, very gracious. And home doesn't work and family doesn't work unless you have a mom and a dad who surrender to each other, to the Lord, in our case, to the Lord's work, and selflessly pour out your life for others. The richest, most blessed thing you can ever do in this world, my brother and sister, is totally pour out your life to the Lord. Like Mary said, and what Lisa quoted, you say that. I'm your handmaid. Here's my life. May God help and may God bless. Keza, you're up next.
Good morning. The other day I decided to do some math, and I found out that I've been alive for about 7,050 days, which translates to approximately 10.2 million minutes. I have about 5 minutes allotted to me to express what my mama has been and done for me over the past 7,050 days. Now, Pastor Unger said I can take extra time if I need it, and he never specified how much extra time I can take. So, well, I can't hope to express all that she has done and been to me for my whole life. A few things in particular stand out. My mom, among many things, is a woman of unwavering faith in God. Such faith has made her hopeful in adversity and steadfast in uncertainty. She has held on to God's promise as found in Philippians 4, 6 to 7, which says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Despite growing up in difficult circumstances, having to live in a war-torn region in the Congo for an extended period of time, having to endure the loss of no less than four of her children, living some 20 years in difficulties of a refugee camp, she has remained through it all a woman of prayer and constant faith in the providence of God, and has thereby been an inspiration to my siblings and me. Not only has she been unwavering in her faith, but also in her love. The RU definition for love is the sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of others without any thought of return. My mama, for as long as I can remember, has been the personification of such love and has shown it in various ways. For the 20 years that we were in the refugee camp, she had a rigorous schedule of going to the farms 3 to 4 times a week. She would take the 40 to 45 minute walk there, work for some 9 to 11 hours in the African sun, and then come back home and have to deal with my siblings. And for the longest time, she also did my laundry by hand. She's never ceased to make the best beans. Her care for me and my siblings has never waned. She has never thought me unworthy of her love, even though at times I behaved as such. Her love has been unconditional, been patient, and sacrificial beyond measure. Without any form of professional training or education, over the course of my life, she's managed to be to me a teacher, a nurse, a personal stylist, a chef, a psychiatrist, a personal advisor, sometimes a referee, a search expert, a gibberish translator, a memory expert, and the list goes on. She has not been weary in well-doing. She has embraced her God-given calling to the highest degree possible. She has put her family before herself, our well-being and safety before hers. She started to train, educate, and encourage my siblings into becoming the people that God would have us be. Her prayers for myself and my siblings have been endless. The demonstrations of her love on a daily basis are countless. And when I really think about all that she is and has done for me, I'm ultimately speechless. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day.
From that testimony, you can tell life isn't always easy. And in the case of the Luendo family, God has taken them on a journey from where they were in the Congo at one point till today, sitting in Bethel Baptist Church and being a part of this church family. We love you and God bless you. Being a mom, What a challenge. Never been easy, no matter what time period in history, today or going back. But being a mom, as we look at our world today, is becoming an incredible challenge. This generation, as I often say while I preach, is facing things that no other generation has ever faced. The tests, the struggles, the trials, the opposition from our adversary, the devil, working to destroy, has never been like it is today. If the devil wants to destroy a country, he has to destroy the families that make up that country. The backbone of any country is a stable family. Without that, we have nothing. And so the devil has been attacking that relentlessly, especially the last 20, 30 years. Unbelievable. And in the midst of that, God saves people. God graciously saves them, makes them new creatures in Christ. And a man and a woman begin a life. They begin a journey. They have a family. And with God's help, produce godly children that will follow them as they walk with the Lord, the next generation, being trained and prepared to do the same thing. If there ever was a time when people needed to be godly and Christ-like, it's now. As adults, as Bible-believing Christians, I couldn't encourage you enough or often enough. Spend time in the Bible every day. Walk with God. God has to be real. If God isn't real to the people of this generation, they'll not make it. God has given us His Word. Powerful Word. Life-changing Word. Glorious Word. People by the millions, countless millions, have been influenced. Their lives have been changed for the 2,000 years of New Testament church history. Who could number them? The message of this book, the Christ of this book, changes lives. Takes men and women, young people from any walk of life, any persuasion, no matter what, and makes them into new creatures in Christ. Makes them trophies of God's grace. Makes them into men and women who can build Christian homes and train their children and build churches and have an impact on our country. We live in a day and an hour, as I've already said, things are falling apart in our day. And the stable thing that has to be today, should Jesus tarry His coming, is God's people doing God's work, standing for God's truth, being a light where we are in the city God has called us to labor in and to be in. May God help us, and may we be found faithful. I'd like to read one passage of Scripture, at least from Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. God's people have always found themselves living in a difficult environment. And you know it has to be that way. God's people represent light in this world. And the Bible teaches that this world is a place of darkness. And God's people, as they stand for Christ and truth, our adversary, the devil, works to destroy relentlessly, persistently, that which God has purposed to establish, we as God's people, and then being a part of New Testament church. Never been easy. So when we read Exodus chapter 1, we're obviously looking at an Old Testament setting of how it was for the nation of Israel. And we're reading about what we want to talk about for a couple of minutes is Moses' mother. Her name was Jochebed. So in Exodus chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says this, "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. And there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick, in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them to serve was with rigor." Now, the definition for the word rigor is this: without mercy, cruel, and ruthless. So the situation for the children of Israel at this present time was exceedingly difficult. And imagine having a home back then where Moses' parents lived, and dad would come home possibly nightly, at least regularly, having been physically beaten at work, because the 12 hours or so that he would have had to work, he couldn't fulfill the demand, and they made the demand so that they couldn't be fulfilled, and then beat them for not fulfilling them. And dad coming home in that environment, and mom having to raise a family in that environment. And then to make matters worse, you know, we'll not read the scriptures, but the Pharaoh passed a law because of the children of Israel multiplying that all the male babies were to be killed. And abortion's nothing new, is it? That kind of wicked stuff has been going on for a long, long time. And so during that time period when the male babies are to be killed, Moses is born. So what would a mother do? Ladies, there's probably no lady that's had an easy life. Life just isn't like that. And for the men, same thing. Life just isn't easy. Life is filled with challenges, difficulties. And I don't want to make the whole picture look too grim, but there are a lot of blessings in the midst of going through difficult times. The people earlier than my generation, they lived through the Depression in our country. And my dad has told me what it was like in the Depression, especially in the 30s. Very, very difficult. Difficult to even keep food on the table. Very hard. But there's something interesting. God has made us with the desire to live and to work and to fight our way through. Normally, that's what normal people do. And so our parents did that. And as we read this account in Egypt, it was hard. And if the Depression was hard for the previous generation prior to mine, what the children of Israel was living in right now, as described in this passage, was even worse. Nobody was beating our parents. The point I want to make is this: life in this world seems never to be easy. And that reminds me of a statement when we were at school, Dr. Lackey mentioning, what's happened in Europe and North America in the 1900s for Christians to be able to live in comfort and peace is not normal. And when you look at history, the last 2,000 years, most of those times, the Bible-believing Christians suffered and were persecuted for their faith in Christ. We've lived in a good time. My generation, I think we lived in the best years of Canadian history. It was good. But here these people find themselves in Egypt. Life is hard. And life was especially hard. You say especially hard for the women? What would it have been like being a woman back in this era? Dad coming home, beaten at work, physically beaten. What would it be like for the mom? And to keep a family encouraged, by the testimonies you heard this morning, you saw the powerful influence of a mom in a home. Granted, not like in Egypt. Granted, not like the 30s from the Depression era. But always a life full of challenges and obstacles that had to be overcome. And in God's grace, a mom that will walk with God will be found faithful toward God and will be able to raise children, obviously together with a dad, but we're highlighting moms today, but be able to raise children that will rise up one day and call her blessed because of what she did. And you heard about that this morning five times. Isn't that good? The influence a mom had on her kids, and as a result, the kids now have had the opportunity to walk with God. How rich, how blessed. But here in Moses, going back to this scenario, when the law was passed, all the male babies to be killed, what would Jochebed do, Moses' mother? What would she do? What would she do? The expectation by the government was to get rid of this little boy. But she couldn't do that, and she wouldn't do that. And let me say something to us today. The laws of God, the word of God, has much higher authority than any laws in the land ever. And when the laws of the land conflict with the laws of God, God's people stand by the word of the living God. No matter what the cost. And so here this mom found a way to keep her son alive. And you know the rest of the story. How she made a little ark of bulrushes and put pitch on the inside and the outside of it and put little baby Moses in there and took him to the river and protected him. In doing that, what was she risking? The Pharaoh was ruthless. They mercilessly beat the men. They were cruel. They didn't care if they lived or died. In that environment, a woman stood up and said, I'm going to obey God, irregardless of the cost. The testimonies you heard this morning, didn't the women, the mothers, didn't face exactly that. But every mother's life is full of challenges. Challenges that can only be met by a mom who knows the God of this book and has a real walk with the living God, especially now. If you're a mom, if you're a grandma, you have a responsibility, according to the scripture, from God to continue to influence your generation. Our kids are all old. Well, kind of old. 60 and down. That's getting pretty old when your kids are 60 and down, man. But do our responsibilities quit to our children? And our grandkids in their 30s, 20s? Does our responsibility quit towards them? Our great-grandkids? Do our responsibilities quit toward them? According to the scripture, Never, never. May God in his grace put his hand on the moms who are Bible-believing Christians of this generation, and might they be committed at whatever cost to keep their hands on the plow and not looking back, looking to the Lord, and in spite of the incredible stresses, struggles, and trials of this current hour, keep working on. Because when God is on the side of the Bible-believing Christian, and obviously always he is, we can end the day praising, rejoicing, thankful to God for the victories that will be there. You heard five persons this morning with a testimony of the impact Mom has had. Keep it up, Mom. And girls who aren't moms yet, may God help you to grow up to be a woman of faith, a woman who knows God, a woman like Jochebed in Exodus chapters 1 and 2, that in the midst of whatever kind of circumstances, you'll obey God and always do what's right to the glory and praise of God. Mom, wife, mother, how precious is a godly woman? How precious. As men, may God help us to honor them and pray for them. And may God continue to have his hand on the women of this church and the Bible-believing women of this country. How important the role of the mom, the women, especially today. May God help you. May God bless you. May you know the reality of the living God with you. May you give your all to him and keep pouring your life into this generation till Jesus comes or calls us home. Let's close in a word of prayer.